Please turn in your bulletin to the back page or in your Bible to Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Hazareth Haggium, because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give them into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you do not go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you, but because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. So today is the second in our study of women in the Bible. Last week we looked at the life of Rachel and how she was a woman of both conflict and of faith. And today, we see one of the most remarkable women in the Bible, Deborah, full of courage, skill, and determination, and wisdom. Maya Angelou once said, "That's important for us to recognize our heroes and sheroes." To that person's mind, the term sheroes was a unique and eye-catching way to talk about heroines, and I like that word. But of those sheroes that we find in Scripture, one of the most impressive is the woman, Deborah. Deborah is only mentioned in two chapters, Judges 4 and 5, but yet she is remarkable. In those two chapters, we're told quite a bit about her, and amongst the things we're told is that she is a prophetess. And prophets were not just foretellers or tellers of what will happen in the future. The majority of the time, prophets were forthtellers. They told people like it is. And oftentimes, their view was not the most popular. Oftentimes, it was the false prophets who the people and the king liked because they only told good news. She was also a judge. He used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel, in the hill country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came to her for judgment. She was a woman used by God in Judges 4:6. She described herself as a mother of Israel in her song that takes up all of Judges chapter 5. And all of chapter 5 is a song of praise that she sings to honor the power of God over Israel's enemies. But Deborah was a unique judge. She was different than the other judges we read about in the book of Judges. And the first thing I'd like to talk about is talking about what is often called the Deuteronomic cycle in the book of Judges. The people sin against God. God judges them or sends an oppressor. They cry out to God, and God raises up a judge. We see that over again, over and over again in the book of Judges. For example, unlike the other judges in the book of Judges, there's nothing negative said about her. She was a woman of character. She did not compromise like Samson. There is nothing negative said about her, only praise for her faith. Secondly, unlike several of the other judges in the book of Judges, she isn't called by God to go as a military commander. She's a prophetess. She is a judge that advocates for the people. And she encourages the people when they do go to war. Also, she's the only judge in the book of Judges that's close to what we think of as a judge. She was there as an arbitrator. All the other judges were called to go to the war, but not her. She's called a judge because of what she did. People came to her. And you notice they didn't come to the walls of a city like they did with many judges. They actually came to her land, to hear her with their disputes. Now, when you think of a judge, what images come to mind? I always think of Judge Judy. A courtroom, a judge dressed in some black robes. There's usually a bailiff or a deputy who's armed. But judges in our culture pass judgment and have the power to implement and punish people by going to prison. But that's not how things worked out quite then. In the days of the Old Testament, judges were like arbitrators. There were no police or prisons to enforce their ruling. Oftentimes, the leading men of the city would serve in that capacity. And you wouldn't find them in a beautiful courtroom. They tended to be in the gates of the city. That's why where they held court, where they served as judges. People who needed their disagreements settled would go to the city gates. But by contrast, Deborah, she sat under her own palm tree. She was one of the most famous judges in her day and the only female judge mentioned in the book of Judges. In our culture, many of us couldn't even begin to name the judges that serve in our town. But we could name the advice columnists in the local paper. For example, we might think of Dear Abby or Ann Landers and how they give advice to people. Just as people would flock to Deborah for advice, people in our day write and ask for advice. They have the same function as the judges of the Old Testament. So Deborah was a judge in Israel, but she wasn't only a judge. She was a prophetess. When you think of a prophet in the Old Testament, we might think of Isaiah or Jeremiah or Daniel. These Old Testament prophets were well known because of the books of prophecy they wrote, or they were known because of their declaration of future events. For example, each December we read passages from Isaiah that predicted the birth, the ministry, the death, and resurrection of Christ. Or these prophets are well known because they could give long sermons in which they would declare the judgment of God on the people of Israel and on the other nations of that day. But Deborah doesn't do that. She doesn't write a book. She makes no statements about the future. She doesn't seem to be into giving long speeches. So if Deborah didn't do anything like that, why do we call her a prophetess? One study of prophecy in the Old Testament determined that 90% of prophecy was talking about the present and how God was either going to judge or bless his people. The Jews of Deborah's day would understand her action being something that prophets and prophetesses did. She was in a long line of prophets. The entire fifth chapter of Judges is dedicated to her song of praise to God. And singing was also seen as prophecy. The biblical commentator Adam Clark noted that prophesying often implies singing. And there's a commentary that notes that instrumental music is called prophesizing in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and 1 Chronicles 25. 1 Samuel 10 tells us about the time Samuel sent Saul on a journey. You will go and you will approach the town and you'll meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them. And they will be prophesying. 1 Chronicles 25 says, David set apart some of the sons for the ministry of prophesying, accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals, using the harp in thanking and praising God. God often used singing as a way to declare His majesty. In fact, that's what God did with Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, in Exodus chapter 15. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for He has highly exalted the horse and its rider. He has hurled into the sea." Miriam's song of prophecy was exactly like Deborah's song. So Deborah was a judge, and she was a prophetess. And the Bible wants us to clearly understand that she was a very wise woman. And that's why she was a hero in the Old Testament. Her being a judge, her being a prophetess, and her were not the reasons that Deborah was listed in the book of Judges. Deborah is listed in Judges because she allowed God to use her for something special. Israel had fallen back into their old ways of worshiping false gods, Baal, Asherah, and others. And their idolatry and rebellion had angered God. The Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of the army was Sisera. Now Israel had an army of 10,000 men under the leadership of a man named Barak. They were no match for that army. What was the reason? They had 900 chariots and Israel didn't. Pitting Israel's army of 10,000 against Canaan's 900 chariots would be like sending an army of riflemen against 900 armored tanks. That would have been a massacre. That at that time, those chariots were the most fearsome implements of war. And no one could stand against an army that had them. And this reminds me, the way that God defeated them was to bring a mighty storm. And so it became muddy and they sank into the ground. God knew exactly where they were to fight. And the chariots and the men became useless because they could not even move. And so I was thinking about a football game that occurred in 2007 between the Dolphins and the Steelers. The weather conditions were terrible. And it was one of the lowest scoring games in the history of football. They called it the Mud Bowl. The end score of the game was 3-0. And that set records. There had not been such a low scoring game since 1993. And this is what Hines Ward said, who was one of the receivers for the Steelers. "These conditions, whoo, they were horrendous," he said. "The footing was bad. All of a sudden you'd hit a water puddle and sink down. Some defensive backs were scared about falling down and giving a big play." So even in today's world, when it gets muddy, when it gets dirty, it can get difficult. And it also reminds me of Hitler's Operation Barbarossa, in which he sent 2 million men against the Soviet Union. But like Napoleon found out, Russian winters don't go too well. And neither do Russian springs. And when the Russians came, when that spring came, all those German tanks were bogged down and they couldn't go anywhere. We see a modern comparison to what happened that day when Sisera's army was defeated by the faith of the people of Israel. And it's interesting that they won because of what God did, not because of what their army did. And we see that over and over again in Scripture. That Joshua's armies, think about how stupid Joshua's armies looked to the citizens of Jericho. What if you were, let's say, we're here in the city of Lampasas, and someone wants to take our city. And all they do all week is march around our city and play some music. You just look at them like they're crazy. You know, what are you trying to do? And that's how those people looked at God's people until the walls fell down. That God had a plan. He had a plan in Judges that delivered victory to his people. He had a plan in Joshua that delivered victory to his people. We see that in Exodus. We see that with the Red Sea, how it parted for the people of Israel, but the water came crashing down on that massive Egyptian army. That Deborah is a hero of the faith because she was courageous, because she knew what God could do, because she was wise, because she was a prophetess, because she was a judge, because she had to talk to the general and say, you need to actually go and fight a war. And not only did she say that, she said, and the enemy general is going to be in the hands of a woman who kills him. And he dies when a spike for a tent comes crashing down on his temple as he's sleeping. And now, one wise man has said that whenever he's in a tent with a woman and he takes a nap, he's very careful because he doesn't want anything to happen. But God used two women to deliver the nation of Israel from oppression, from decades of oppression, from a mighty army. And God is still with us today. And next week, we will be going further. We'll be looking in the upcoming weeks, beginning with Ruth and with Esther. But today, the Lord is looking for those who will fight with faith and courage for him. Have you given your life to him? Have you confessed that you need him as Savior and Lord? Or do you have something that you want to say to God at the altar today? The Lord is calling us. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. Will we be like Deborah and take up our shield and our sword and serve our Lord?